So let us now turn to the Bible, and our passage reading tonight is Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. Now, we usually read from the version of the Bible in the pew. Tonight we're going to read it from the New Living Translation, and hopefully all of you, or most of you, have been given a copy, a piece of paper like this. Because what I'd like to do is I'll read the first five verses, and then together, if we can read it from verse 6, where it starts, "Though he was God." So Philippians 2, 1 to 11 from the New Living Translation. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Okay, I'd just like us to pray for a moment. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, we pray. Amen. Wow. Today is the last Sunday in April, and we have come to the end of our series that started back in January about meeting with the Jesus of Holy Week, using the stories from Matthew, Mark and Luke in the mornings, and the events as they are shown in John's Gospel in the evening. And I am very fortunate because I have the last Sunday evening, and I was allowed to choose how we finished. And I felt it would be lovely to think about how Jesus came, his attitude that he had in his life and in his death. And hasn't it been good just to press pause and to slowly be able to reflect on each step that Jesus has taken for us in that momentous week that changed history forever? So this evening we're going to spend some time considering how we can respond to this Jesus who gave everything for us. And our reading this evening has given us chance to step back from the details of the events of the Easter week and to ponder a while on the attitude of Christ, so that, as Paul asks us to in verse 5, we can have the same attitude. So now you've got no excuse for not following the passage, because you've all got a copy. And if you have a look at verse 7 and 8, you'll see that, if you want another copy, you've got next to carry. Jesus gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. Jesus, though he was God, was born as a human being. Jesus humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. And we read also in Matthew 11:29 that Jesus is gentle and humble of heart. and we'll come back to that. So, we are going to think this evening about how Jesus came, why he came, and what difference does that make to me and to you? So, how did Jesus come? How did he live? How did he die? Jesus came in humility and gentleness, something that the world doesn't have much time for. Humility is a gentleness that doesn't need to force its way through life, but has a joyous desire to serve. This is so countercultural. How often do we see humility and gentleness celebrated in the news? Can you think of any time? I can't. How often do we find people rushing to serve us without looking for some reward? And how often do we choose not to give way to others because we prefer to have our own way? We often feel insecure and unable to take a step back out of the limelight in case we get missed out. Have you heard of that expression, FOMO, fear of missing out, which is something very real for many of us? We may plan to go out of our way to meet someone else's needs, which many of us do in church, but sometimes we still want to score a brownie point for doing so. So think of that first Christmas. In Luke chapter 2 we read, "While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And then shepherds came to see him. This is the Son of God, born in a stable amongst smelly animals and welcomed by lowly shepherds. There was none of this notice me publicity that we've come to expect on the arrival of a celebrity." And then think of those years, Jesus growing up, 30 years that he spent in Nazareth, going to church school, learning a trade as the apprentice in the family business, learning how to be the Son of God whilst being the Son of Man. Then we come to the events of Easter week. Betrayed by one friend, denied by another, falsely accused, flogged and crucified. Yet not retaliating or defending himself, and not losing his mind or his dignity, still putting others first and caring for his mum. Buried in a borrowed tomb with no markings to point to his greatness. So what is humility? First of all, maybe thinking about what it isn't. It's not a cringing, servile attitude. Jesus was no doormat. It's not putting ourselves down, trying not to be noticed. It was not weakness or hiding away. Jesus didn't do any of those things. It is not a lack of ambition, motivation, or drive. It is not pretending to be something that we are not. Dare I say it, humility is not something we need to focus on working at or spend too much time examining ourselves to see if we have it. We're complex human beings, and we can often take pride in thinking that we are humble. I wonder if you've ever done that. I know I have. And shame on me. It's the opposite of having a proud know-it-all attitude. It's having a teachable spirit. The 19th century priest and hermit, Charles de Foucauld, said, "Humility is always leaving space that you may be wrong." So, true humility, like that which Jesus showed when he washed the feet of the disciples, is having a right view of ourselves and a right view of God. In Romans 12, verse 3, Paul says, "Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us." So I think that humility is a choice that we can make to have a realistic view of who we are, an honest evaluation of ourselves, not thinking of ourselves too highly, nor thinking of ourselves too lowly. Philip Brooks, another 19th century person, an American preacher, said, "The true way to be humble is not to stoop until you're smaller than yourself, but to stand at your real height against some higher nature that will show you the real smallness of your greatness. Stand at your highest and then look at Christ, thinking of yourself." Then look at Christ, then go away and forever be humble. I'm going to read that again, sorry. The true way to be humble is not to stoop until you're smaller than yourself, but to stand at your real height against some higher nature that will show you what the real smallness of your greatness is. Stand at your highest and then look at Christ, then go away and forever be humble. Now, looking at verse 3 and 4, before God, we are all sinners, saved only by Jesus' death on a cross. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. I love thinking about this at communion. We all drink the same cup, and I think about others who might seem to me that they're more important than I am in church. And I remember that I am as important to Jesus as they are because he paid the same price for me. And those people who I might have a natural tendency to look down on, I remember that they are as important as I am because they are just as valuable to Jesus. So many today are more interested in how they seem to others, the image that they want to portray. We care so much about making an impression and having an impact that we don't care enough about how we get there. We can end up all image and no content. Recently, I bought a pretty necklace and earrings. Now, they were a reasonable price, and they looked good quality. And after I had worn them a few times, I noticed that the lovely colour and sheen on the outside of the beads was coming off, and beneath it was dull and grey. What a disappointment. My necklace was masquerading as quality and had fooled me. It wasn't the genuine article and didn't stand the test of time. It was a sham. And my necklace is a message to me of what my life can be like. Scratched beneath the surface, then it may be revealed that I'm only trying to keep up appearances. I wonder if we're so concerned with our image and promoting ourselves, maybe on social media or in other ways, that we forget the real thing. And we end up all superficial and hollow with no character. Trying to keep up an image of who we want people to see is a stressful way to live. It is hard work. And the great news is that Jesus sees beneath our mask and loves the real you underneath. Being humble is being free to be the person that God made you to be. To be free of having to make an impression on others. Of having to live up to an image, of trying to be something that we're not. We can love ourselves and accept ourselves as we are when we know God as he is and we look into his loving gaze. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle at work with the requirement that there is now to sell yourself, blow your own trumpet, make sure everybody notices what you're doing. I have to think carefully, what would Jesus have me do? Who would Jesus have me be? And my desire is always to be the genuine article. Today, we often excuse our selfishness and pride by claiming our rights. I can spend all this money on myself. I worked hard for it. I can get an abortion if I want. I have the right to choose what happens with my own body. I will fudge my exam results on that job application. I deserve to have that opportunity. Well, Jesus has a different attitude. He laid aside his majesty, his rights to serve us. Why then did Jesus come? So we're looking now, verses 5 to 11. He came to show us the attitude to live by as a model for us of humility. He came to serve and to give his life in our place, to take the punishment for our sins, so that we can be forgiven and free. Hallelujah! So we can be part of his family. So in verse 7 we see he came as a willing sacrifice. This was the Son of God voluntarily assuming a human body and human nature. Without ceasing to be God, he became a human being, the man called Jesus. He didn't give up his deity to become human, but he set aside his right to his glory and his power. Verse 8 we see he came in willing obedience. He submitted himself to the Father's will. No, I want to go further than that. He surrendered himself wholeheartedly to God's plan. And I've been reading about submission and surrender because I really wanted to understand the difference. Submission indicates a deliberate act of the will, but not necessarily a giving of your heart. Whereas surrender signifies more than behavioural compliance, doing what we should do. Let me read you these words from a little book. I recommend this book, Surrender to Love. If I have time, I'll write a book review in the magazine. It's by David G. Benner. Relying on the will to make things happen keeps us focused on the self. Life lived with resolve and determination is life lived apart from surrender. It is living with clenched-fisted doggedness. It's living the illusion that I can be in control. It is the rule of life lived in the kingdom of self. Willingness, on the other hand, involves release of control, symbolized by open hands. It is the surrender of my autonomy and my will. It is giving up my illusory quest for control and its relinquishment of the keys to the kingdom of self. Christ is the epitome of life lived with willingness. Your will be done, he prayed in the Lord's Prayer and in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was more than a prayer. He lived this posture of preferring God's will to his own. Christian spirituality is following Christ in this self-abandonment, following his example of willing surrender. Only love can induce us to do this. Amazingly, love can not only make it possible, it can make it almost easy. Surrender involves too much vulnerability to be a responsible action in relation to anything other than unconditional love. Only God deserves absolute surrender, because only God can offer absolutely dependable love. In spite of our natural resistance to submission, deep within the human soul there seems to be a yearning to surrender. Although it doesn't fit with the image I usually want to project, all my life I have longed to give myself completely to someone or something bigger than myself. This lies right at the heart of what it means to be human. We are creatures made in the image of God, and Spirit, God's Spirit, calls to Spirit our spirit, reminding us that there is no freedom apart from surrender. Jesus is now exalted by God above all others, and every knee will bow before him. So, what difference does this make to me and to you? When we remember how Jesus came in humility to show us humility, true humility. Why he came to set us free from trying to be something that we're not, free to be the people, that he made us to be. How can we experience this freedom? Well, by welcoming this Jesus who came to earth over 2,000 years ago and died for us and now lives for us, exalted in the place of highest honour. By welcoming Jesus into our hearts, thanking him for his gift of forgiveness and freedom, and by receiving his love, allowing him to work in our lives to make us into the people he designed us to be. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I've already welcomed Jesus into my life, but I do feel squashed into having to be someone who I'm not because of the pressures around me at work or at home or at church. Come again to Jesus tonight and gaze on him. Ask him to give you a true understanding of who he is and who you are. He can give you the strength to not worry about the expectations of others, the freedom to let go and think it doesn't matter what others think, it only matters what he thinks. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mould, but let God remould your mind from within. I have been reminded recently of C.S. Lewis's words through Susan in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Is Aslan quite safe? Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good. He's the king. Well, God isn't safe, but we can be confident that he is good and we can risk surrendering to him because of his goodness. Let me finish by reading these lovely words in Matthew that we started off with. And if any of you want someone to pray with you at the end of the service, do ask Stepanka, who'll be over in the corner there, or Kerry or I to pray with you. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 say, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.